peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
All right, we're going to continue our series, Discover Your Destiny. Anybody here want to discover your destiny today? How many is ready to walk in the destiny that God has for you? Anybody want to walk in the destiny that God has for you? Yes, ma'am. God has called us to walk in the destiny. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We started off in this series that every person has a destiny and a dream given from God. And that many times our dreams and our destiny are two different things. Even though they both can be from God, our destiny and dream can be two different things because we're looking at Joseph's life as an example. And we looked at the first week in Joseph's life that he was given the dream that his family would bow down to him. Now, who gave him that dream? We know that God gave him that dream that his family would bow down to him. But was that Joseph's destiny for his family to bow down to him? No, that was not his destiny. His destiny was to save a nation from starvation. His destiny was to save a nation by being a good steward and giving God him grace so he could store up the grain and enough food so when the famine came, that they would have enough to sustain and save a nation. That was ultimately his destiny. And because it happened, yes, his brothers and family did come, and he did bow down to him because he was second in command in all the nation. But that was not the dream. And many times God uses our dreams to get us to our destiny. That God gives us dreams of success, and God gives us dreams, and it's through those dreams that pride is revealed. And we talked about that, how he had to deal with pride. Many times God has got to take that pride and strip us of our pride, and he uses our dreams to really gauge and see how much pride is really in our life. And we see that when we have pride there, it stops us from being the person that God has called us to be. And so God is needing to strip us of all pride that we can walk humbly before him, knowing that God, without your grace, I am nothing. God, without your grace, I am nothing. God, if you don't touch my marriage is doomed. God, if you don't touch my finances are broke. God, if you don't touch my health, Lord, I'm a mess. Because we need God's grace in every area of our life. We talked about battling with pride, how he went through the pit, and how God many times allows us to go through the pit so we can cry out for help. That we get to the place when you're in the pit, you don't care. You are ready to get out of that pit, and you'll say, God, help me. God, I need you. Isn't it something that we talk about this all the time? Carl and I had this conversation about being in the foxhole. That there's no atheist in foxhole, is there, Carl? People cry out to God. When you're in a foxhole, man, you're crying out to God. When you're in a battle, when you're in a war, you cry out to God. God, you better help me. I want to get back home to see my family. It's all of a sudden when people get in trouble who don't believe in God, all of a sudden they believe in God, don't they? I know people who mock God all their life and something goes terribly wrong with one of their children or in their marriage or the family. Who they call? They call you, Pastor, I need you to pray. You're like, isn't this the same person that told me you didn't need God? You know, it's what you want to say. Of course, we pray for them. But it's how this crisis of going through the pit. Last week we talked about the palace. How do you handle the palace? That Joseph was second in command everywhere he went. That he always rose to the top. His talents and character always begin to push him to the top. And we talked about last week that how do we deal with the palace? How do we get God's favor in our life, in our workplace? That how we do everything we do is we do it unto the Lord. We handle our job. We handle our activities as though we're doing it to the Lord, even when we have difficult people to work with, when we do things with the right attitude, when let God's character begin to develop within us, he elevates us to the top. Last week we talked about lessons from the palace. Today I want to talk about lessons from prison. Isn't that a good one, Anthony? Lessons from prison. The other day I was hearing an interview with a gentleman who spent some time in prison who played in the NFL. And he came out and he said, man, I am totally changed. Prison has totally changed me. I got a different perspective on life. I've got different priorities in life. It seems funny how 2 years in prison will do that to you, won't it? Prison seems to change your viewpoints. Prison will change the way you look at things. And today, we can learn from Joseph's life when he was cast in prison. How did he handle the situation? What did we learn from prison? Let's pick it back up in Genesis chapter 39. We're going to pick it up in verse 13. Now, we see before this where Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce Joseph. And Joseph had become second in command in Potiphar's house. He was in charge of all the servants there. He had become second in command in Potiphar's house. And in this time in Potiphar's house, his wife looks at Joseph and said, "Man, that guy is easy on the eyes." And she makes a pass at him, and of course, he flees. And let's pick it back up here. And so it was that when she saw that he had left his garments in her hand and fled outside, he takes off running and he leaves his coat behind. Something about that coat. We could come back to that in a little bit. And she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought us into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happens, I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was that when his master heard the words which he spoke to his wife, saying, "Your servant did this in a manner," his anger was aroused, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. Look what it says. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him what? Mercy. Let me ask you this question. Did God deliver Joseph in the prison right away? No. But why did God show Joseph in the middle of his prison? Showed him what? Mercy. This is good. That God showed him mercy during his time in prison. And he gave him favor, where? In the prison. God gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatever he did, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. We see where Joseph is falsely accused of Potiphar's wife of coming on to her. And so she tells this lie on him. And he gets thrown falsely into prison. Today we're going to talk about this thought of lessons from prison. Every lesson in this series has to do with really stewardship, doesn't it? You think about it, every lesson in this series really has to do, how do we steward the things God's given us? How do we steward the dream God's given us? Do you go off bragging about your dream? Do you go off shooting at your mouth about what God's going to do in your life? How do you steward the dream God's given to you? How do you steward the time in the pit? How do you steward the palace? How do you steward another man's wife? How do you steward being second in command? All these things were given to Joseph, and we're looking at how he dealt with these things in his life. Good stewards. It's important that we become good stewards, because you'll never walk into your full destiny until you learn to be good stewards of what God's given you now. It's like the lie that we hear so many times. I'll start giving to the church, Pastor. I'll pay my tithe and offering just as soon as I get a raise. Or just as soon as I get another job. Or just as soon. No, you won't. If you can't pay a dollar off the $10 God's giving you now, what makes you think you're going to give $100 off $1,000 you want? It's just not going to happen, okay? Because we have to learn to be good stewards. When we are faithful what God's giving us now. Well, when I get a better job, I will learn to be a better worker. No, you won't. If you can't be a better worker where you're at now, God's not going to give you a better job so that you can be a bad worker there too. All right. That's just 101 right there. You can take that to the bank this morning. Okay. Romans 5. Look at Romans 5, 3 through 5. Look what it says. And not only that, but we also glory. Everybody say glory. Come on, you better say glory. There you go. We glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. So today, we know that we are to glory in tribulations. Now, we see the word glory used many times in Scripture, and many times it has to do with the outshining of God's presence. That's what it means, the outshining of God's presence. But when it's used in this particular instance, it's not used in that reference. Its original meaning actually means to rejoice. We rejoice in tribulation. That's how it reads. We are not only that, but we are also to rejoice in tribulations. How many think that's a good message, this one right there? Well, that's a hard thing to think about. We're to rejoice in tribulations. That's just the opposite about how we think. Kind of goes along with that series we did on the Beatitudes. Remember, be happy? How he told us to be happy about being persecuted? This goes along with the same thing. We're to rejoice during tribulations. Why is that? Because tribulations lead to perseverance. Perseverance leads to character, and character leads to hope. It's been said that we can live how many days without food? Not very many, is it? We can only live a certain amount of days without food. We can live in a shorter time without water. We can only go a couple of days without water. How long can you go without air? 2-3 minutes for some of you. For those of you who maybe are in really good shape, you can go 5-10 minutes. But how long can you go without hope? Zero. We need hope in our life. And so today we know this, that tribulations, we can rejoice because tribulations ultimately lead to hope. It leads to character. We know that you'll never walk in your destiny where your character cannot sustain you. God's not going to allow you to walk in your destiny until your character can sustain you to handle the destiny that God has for you. So how do we, let's look at this particular scripture in Romans 5, and it really leads us to our talk today. We're going to talk about four things that help us rejoice during our tribulation. Number one, tribulation produces what? Perseverance. We just read it. Tribulation produces perseverance. I got information for you today. You do not have to pray for tribulation. It's going to come, okay? Tribulation is going to find you. It's going to find me. It's going to find you. It's a part of living on this earth that we're going to walk through tribulation. We don't have to pray, God, send me tribulation so I can grow in my character. Doesn't happen that way. We just pray, God, help me through this tribulation so I can develop my character. Because tribulation will come. Scripture is very clear about it. He warns us about it in John 16. Look what it says in John 16, 33. I think we have. There we go. Yeah. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have what? Peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but rejoice. I have overcome the world. Look what he says also in Scripture, James 1, 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, how many have patience here today? How many need more patience in your life today? If you want to learn to have patience, I really advise you, do not get behind me in a line at Walmart, okay? Because you'll see someone who does not have patience. Because I always seem to find the line that's not moving very fast. I study it out. I count people. Come on, I want to find the fastest line. All right, there's only three in this line. Everybody else has got five or six. I'll get into the fast line. And then the person in front of me will get out and start paying in pennies. I mean, it just always seems to happen. Or you want to get behind me at the bank. You will not learn patience at all. You know, because I'm always behind somebody who has not figured out how those tubes actually work. And I love the ones you can see go up and down because, you know, we can see. All right, good. They finally figured out. It's gone out there. They send it back. You're thinking, any time now, they're going to get out of my way. And then all of a sudden, they send it back again. You're like, no! Let me give you a little etiquette. You're only allowed one sin, people. Okay, one sin in the drive-thru. If you want to learn patience, don't get behind me because I really have a hard time waiting in line. And patience is not something that we have to learn. You know, because patience produces character in our life. It says that trials produces patience. Tribulation, though, produces perseverance. So what's the difference between a trial producing patience and tribulation producing perseverance? This is a good one. Because we want to produce character in our life. You see, trials produce patience. But the difference is this. Is that we know that perseverance means it's a long time. which takes us to our next point, which is number two, perseverance produces character. Perseverance produces character in our life. Genesis chapter 40, the story, let's pick it back up. Let's read verses 14 and 23. Now, what happened here, let me quickly tell you this story. What happened here is we see why Joseph's in prison, that there's a baker and the butler have really upset the king. We don't know exactly what they did, but whatever they did, they did something to really upset him. So he throws them in prison. And this is what happens. Pharaoh throws them in prison, and they have a dream, and Joseph interprets the dream. And after he interprets the dream, they're like, great, this is awesome. And he interprets the dream to, hey, man, in 3 days, God's going to restore you back. It's all good, butler, don't worry about it. And the butler's rejoicing, all right, in 3 days, I'm going back to the palace. I'm getting out of this prison, they're rejoicing. And look what he says here in verse 40, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Look what he says, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. And then verse 23, after he got out of the house, it says here that he, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but what? Forgot him. I believe here in this story that it tells us something about Joseph's character right here. Because after everything he's been through, he interprets the dream, and then he does something that you and I never do. He begins to name drop. We never did that, did we? Okay, we've never done that before. Make sure that when you get out, that you tell him that I'm the one that interpreted the dream. Make sure you tell Pharaoh that I'm the one who had the power to interpret the dream. Instead of just being quiet, letting God raise him up to the top like he's always done, there's still a little bit of something in his life, maybe a little bit of pride that Joseph's still dealing with, that God says, I better keep you in the oven just a little bit longer. You're not quite ready to get out of the prison just yet. And so he spends 2 more years in prison. And I believe it comes because of this statement right here. I personally believe it. He wasn't quite ready. He was close. Obviously, he had a lot of character and a lot of good work ethic, and he represented whatever he did well, but yet there were still some things of pride that God was pulling out of him, and we see it begin to raise his head back up right here quickly, and we see it. Make sure you tell Pharaoh it was me. I'm the dream interpreter. So we see this happening here. See, Joseph's character wasn't ready yet to support his destiny. See, perseverance takes a long time. You know, patience, we talked about patience. Patience through a trial is a brief thing many times in our life. But a tribulation and perseverance actually goes back and actually correlates with the word going to war. That people, when they're going through tribulation, are actually going through a war. And that when you're going through a tribulation, that means it can be a long period of a war. I mean, some of us had the idea of the war like we did in Iraq. We got in and out. We're done, right? And this war has lasted how long? A long time, hasn't it? And today we know that when we go through a trial, that many times a trial doesn't last very long, and it produces patience. But man, when you got to persevere through tribulation, Joseph had 13 years of tribulation. It was 13 years after he got the dream from God, got put in the pit, before he ever made it back into second command, fulfilled the destiny that God had given to him. It was 13 years. It was also 13 years that David was anointed king before he actually became king. He spent 13 years running from Saul. Remember, running from Saul, hiding in the caves. I mean, we think of these great guys who fulfilled their destiny, but they went through a long period of tribulation. And you got to learn to persevere through it, because persevere produces character in our heart. Number three, character produces what? Hope. When we have character, it begins to produce a different hope in us. See, character is not how we act. Let me say it again. Character is not just how we act. It really isn't. Character is how we react. Oh, isn't that good? Come on. Character is just not how we act. Character is how we react. Because, see, I think I have good character, and I act great. But sometimes I go through something in my life and I don't react the way I should. And God shows me real fast that, man, you still got some things you need to work on in your life. It's how we react that we really can gauge the character God's really doing in our life, the maturity of our character. It's how do we react to adversity. How do we react to the way things are done to our life.
See, Joseph did the right thing. He ran from Potiphar's wife. She was trying to seduce him, and he ran from her, but yet he found himself in prison, falsely accused. Has it ever happened to you? You did the right thing, but yet you got the wrong results, so you think. How do you handle that? How do you handle when people falsely talk about you, even though you did nothing wrong? You do the right thing, and yet everybody at work comes against you. Nobody else on your job will stand up for integrity, and you do it, and everybody gets mad at you. I can't believe you exposed the boss like that. Oh, my God. And everybody looks at you like you're the bad person. And you may even lose your job because you did the right thing. And everybody else who's going along with the wrong thing keeps your job. You ever seen that happen? I've seen it happen time and time again. So how do you react? God, I did the right thing, and now I don't have a job. I say to this, that when you persevere and when you do the right thing and you react the right way, God will always have a plan. Even though you seem like you're in the pit, even though you seem like you're in prison right now, lift up your head. It's okay, because God will sustain you. God will sustain you. He will allow you perseverance. He will give you grace. That we read about in the first set of scripture, he says he gives him grace during his time of prison. God's hand was upon him during his time of prison. I'd much rather walk through a season of prison and have God's grace and his hand of mercy upon me than to ever walk in my own power and what I think is my own blessing, okay? Because ultimately, God will sustain me. Sometimes we got to lose it all to get back the right perspective. Sometimes we lose it all to get it all back and have a great appreciation for what God really wants to do in our life. Anybody relating today? Am I just preaching to myself? You know what I'm saying? This is the truth. This is where it's at. It's hard sometimes. I'm telling you part of Christianity that sometimes you won't hear. Sometimes it is hard. And sometimes you do a God thing and you find yourself in prison. I mean, if Joseph just would have slept with her, he wouldn't have ended up in prison. But his character wouldn't have been the same. He'd have lost his integrity, what God was wanting to do. Because he chose to do the right thing. It produces hope. You see, Satan always uses the same old lies and tricks to try to steal away our hope and our joy. It says that when he left his what? His coat as evidence. What was the only evidence she had against him that he had tried to come on to her and rape her? What was the only evidence that she had? His coat. He left his coat there. And as I thought about that, isn't that similar? What's the only lie that his brothers had against him to his father? The coat. They took the coat of many colors, dipped it in blood. Even though he wasn't dead, they told the father, hey, he's dead. And he ends up gone. Father doesn't look for him because he believes he's dead. But yet he wasn't dead. He was alive. And then the lie of Potiphar's wife, what's the only thing that she has as evidence? The coat. See, Satan uses the same tricks. He doesn't have anything new. He really doesn't. He used the same things over and over again in our life to try to trick us, to deceive us, to tell lies against us. If I was Joseph, I think I'd stop wearing coats. How many think that's a good idea? It's freezing outside. Don't give me no coat. I don't need no coat. You keep the coat. I'm done with coats. Just a little sidebar there, okay? Me and coats just don't go good together. Okay. But look what Proverbs 13:12 says. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. What's that mean? When there is no hope, you're sick. Your heart is sick. No wonder we walk around in a sick society. No wonder we walk around and thinking, why are these people so sick, man, in their heart, in their thinking, in their actions, in their words, in their attitude? Because they don't have any hope in their life. You see, this is where you and I are called to be different. This is where you and I are called to be character people of perseverance. That even when we walk through the tribulation, we can walk with a hope because we have God's mercy and we have God's grace. And as long as I have God's mercy and I have God's grace, I can walk through anything. I can walk through times of plenty, and I can walk through times of empty. I can walk through times of much great and much less. I've had walked through all of it, of nothing. Okay, it doesn't make a difference because I have God's grace, and I can persevere no matter what he's asked me to go through. I've walked through it. You've walked through it. We know that we can persevere because it produces character, and this character produces the hope. See, hope is not just that our circumstances will change. Some of us have hope. My circumstance is going to change. No, my hope shouldn't be that my circumstance is going to change. My hope should be that God is going to sustain me through my circumstance. Because when we put our hope in our circumstances changing, and they don't, and our trial becomes a tribulation, then we lose faith, and then we lose hope. But when my hope and faith is that God's going to sustain me no matter how long this period of my life lasts, then I don't lose hope. Because my hope is what? We set our hope in who? We set our hope in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in God. My circumstances doesn't change me. My hope in the Lord sustains me. Oh, that's good right there. You can take that to the bank. All right. And the last point here is hope produces appointments. Hope produces appointments. When we have character, we persevere and have character, and our character produces hope. Then once you have hope, it produces divine appointments in your life. Look at Romans 5, 3 and 5. We read it a while ago. Let's read it again. And not only that, but we also glory and rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Look what it says. Now, hope does not disappoint. Double negative there. It does not disappoint. When it's used in this way, what it's saying is this, is that hope appoints, okay? What's the opposite of this? We know if hope does not disappoint, then hope must appoint. What does hope appoint in our life? Hope appoints God, divine moments in your life. Think about it right here. Think about it. Let's read the story here in chapter 40, verses 6 and 7. Now, Joseph, when he came to them in the morning, talking about the baker and the butler who had been put in prison. And when Joseph came to him in prison in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad, he so asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" Now, listen, there's something about hope in that statement. You're in prison. He walks in prison. He sees these two other guys in prison who have been signed with him. And these guys are just got the biggest faces, just so down in the dumps. I mean, it's very much you can be expected that if you walk in prison, you're not going to see a bunch of people rejoicing, are you? Okay? Yeah, we're glad to be here, man. But look at Joseph's reaction when he walks in. He walks in that morning. He's got a different hope in him. And he looks at him and says, "What are you guys so down for? Why the long faces?" And because he had something different about his spirit, because he had a hope alive within him, he just simply stops and asks these guys, "What's wrong? Why are you looking so sad?" And out of that, they tell him the dream. "I had this dream last night," and he had a dream. "We can't figure out what it was." And he tells the butler, he says, "Hey, man, your dream is awesome. Because what your dream means, in 3 days, the king's going to call you back up, and he's going to restore you back to the right place, and you're going to be restored back into the kingdom." And the baker gets all excited and says, "Tell me my dream. I want to hear what's going on." He's like, "Not so good news for you. In 3 days, the king's going to hang you." You notice he doesn't mention, "Hey, by the way, tell Pharaoh I'm the one that told you that dream." We don't see that happening here. But you see, it was his willingness to follow God's hope in his life. It was his willingness to see, even through the time of tribulation, that he took time to interpret the dream and say, "I can hear God's voice down here. What's wrong, guys?" Because he had a different hope that ultimately took him from the prison. Now listen, God can take you from the prison all the way to the palace in a matter of hours when he wants to. Let me say it again. God can take you from the prison all the way to the palace in a matter of hours if he wants to. Because we see it happening. 2 years passed by. 2 years passed by, and what happened? Pharaoh had a dream. And he's like, "Man, it's complex to me. I can't. Who gave Pharaoh that dream? God. We know God gave Pharaoh this dream. Why did Pharaoh get a dream from God? Because it was Joseph's divine appointment to get out of prison and walk in his destiny. And it meant so much that he had already planned it so much ahead of time that while he was in prison, he developed the discerning spirit that he could already interpret the dreams. And so that when 2 years had passed by and Joseph thought, man, that guy forgot all about me, I might as well be, I'm probably going to be stuck here all my life. In a matter of hours, Pharaoh has a dream. He goes, I need somebody to interpret it. And the butler goes, oh, yeah. There's a guy named Joseph in prison. He interpreted my dream. Well, call him up here, and he interprets the dream of Pharaoh. And pretty soon, we find out he jumps from the prison all the way to the second command of the nation. You talk about walking in your destiny. Some of you feel like God has forsaken you. Some of you feel like God has forgotten about you, that you've been walking in a tribulation for a long, long, long time. I'm here to tell you, do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. Allow God's character to be developed in you. Persevere. You hang on and say, God, I am ready to hang on. No matter what you do, God, no matter what I go through in my life, even though I would never chosen this path to walk on my own, God, you have chosen me to walk it, and God, you're going to sustain me through it. My hope is not in my circumstances. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is not in what somebody else does or reaction that comes to me. I'm going to react the right way. My hope is not in what my employer does. My hope is in what, how God blesses me, sustains me. We walk in a different hope. See, the trial you're going through, you will persevere. It will produce character you need to walk into your destiny. Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, with every head bowed, I just want to ask you a simple question. Very simple in the way I'm going to ask it, but very complex, and it's the most important decision that you ever have to make in your life. It's a decision whether or not you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior today. Many, many people in this room have made this decision. Today, I want to make sure that you have a chance to make that same decision. As I'm talking today, you say, Pastor, you're talking about walking in a destiny. You're talking about walking in a newfound destiny in my life. First of all, I just got to first ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I need to ask him to forgive me my sins, and I want to become a Christian today. I want to make sure I make heaven my home, and I want to start a new journey today in Christ. Throughout the worship time and even during the message, I realize that God's Spirit's calling at my heart today, and I'm ready today to make a decision. Nobody's looking but me. I'm going to make sure everybody's got your head bowed. I will not embarrass you in any way at all. But I want to ask you, if you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm ready to make that decision to ask Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want you to lift your hand high where I can see it. I want to make sure I give you that opportunity. Thank you. Anybody else want to join this person today? One more time. Raise it high where I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these two today? Say, I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. Thank you, buddy. Yeah. We're going to all say this prayer together. I'm going to ask that you repeat after me, especially those who raised your hands. I want you to really pray this prayer from your heart. The rest of us, we're going to say this prayer along with you. We're going to say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. It belongs to you today. All of my hope, all of my pain, all of my dreams, I give to you today. I give you my life. I will live for you. From this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say, welcome to the family, God. Let's give him a hand clap prayer. If you prayed, raised your hand today and prayed that prayer, before you leave today, we want you to stop by our information booth in the back. We've got a special gift for you back there. It's got a free Bible and some other things to tell you what to do next in your journey. This is a very important decision you made today. It's not the end. It's the beginning of a new journey, start of a new journey. And you need people around you who will support you and just encourage you to become everything God wants you to be in your life. You need a home church. If you don't have a home church, we want you to be involved here. Come, be involved. Be faithful. Allow us to help support you. So stop by today before you leave and get that. I'm going to advise you to stand on your feet this morning. How many today say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to learn to walk through my tribulation and with a new attitude. I'm ready to learn to walk through with perseverance. How many of you want to pray that God would give you a different hope, different character, a different perseverance? You're seeing, and you say, Pastor, you're speaking. I see what God's wanting to do in my life. He's trying to shape me for my destiny.
This is what he's doing. As I'm going through my trial, as I'm going through my tribulation, that God is shaping my destiny. He's shaping my character so he can sustain me to walk in the destiny that he has for my life. How many today say, Pastor, that's for me. I am ready to walk in the destiny God's got for my life. And I want to learn to walk with perseverance. I'm going to pray for you. As I pray for you today, we're going to come back and we're going to sing this song. Father, I just thank you, Lord. With our hands raised to you today, Father, we lift up our hands as a sign of surrender to you. And Lord, I say today, Lord, to every person who raised their hands and said they're ready to walk in the destiny that you've given to them, God, I pray that right now, Lord, we would learn to walk with perseverance through the tribulation. That first and foremost, God, we got to learn to walk through our tribulation with perseverance. Help us to get our eyes off our problem and our circumstances, and may our eyes, our heart, and our spirit stay in tune to your spirit. God, may we stay in tune, Lord, to the hope that you've given us. That, God, you're going to sustain us through no matter what we face in our life. And, Father, I speak hope today to a generation. I speak hope today to those who have lost their hope. God, I pray today that, God, you are restoring hope once again. I feel that spirit here today. If that's you and you need hope, just raise your hands and receive. God, there's a new hope being poured out today to people who are walking in discouragement. God, you're pouring out a new hope to those who've taken their eyes off of you. And God, today you're placing in their heart, Lord, a new desire, a new focus, a new perseverance. That God, they're going to stop looking at their circumstance. And God, they're going to look at the hope giver. They're going to look at the God giver today who gives hope, who gives peace, who builds our character, and ultimately has our destiny already lined up. And God, we're not going to get off track, but God, we're going to stay true to what you called us to walk. And God, our hope is in you today. God, as we lift up your name, God, we're going to lift up our name because, God, you always come to our rescue. Lord, whether we're in the pit, whether we're in the prison, God, we call upon your name, and God, you come, and you bring a hope, and you bring a peace, and you came to our rescue. Come, let's close this song today.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. Oh Lord, my whole
in your hands, God of
come on, make it your prayer. In our life, we lift it high.
Today, say, I'm thankful God came to me, pulled me out of the pit. Anybody here can testify of that, man?
Jesus.
I've been in the pit before. I've been in the prison before. It can be a long task. It can be a long ways out. But I tell you, when we persevere, when we hold on, God's promises are so true. When we hold on to God is wanting to develop us. All the things I went through caused me to be a better pastor. It calls me to be a better husband, a better father. And today, when we allow God to nurture us, when we allow God to teach us, to develop us in our times of struggle, He is ultimately leading us to the ultimate destiny that He has for our life today. How many say, that's what I want in my life? Amen? One more time, you got a hand clap of praise this morning? Yeah. Justin's going to come this morning. He's going to dismiss us in a word of prayer. Don't forget, this Wednesday night, if you're involved in the women's and the men's, we'd love to have you be a part of that. It's going to be a great class. I hope to invite to see you there. Justin closes out in the word of prayer today.
God, we want to thank you for your word this morning, God. And Lord, we pray, God, for strength, God. Lord, that you would sustain us through our tribulations, God. And Lord, that we would persevere, God, and become the type of people that you want, God, to accomplish your will in this earth, God. Lord, we place our lives in your hands, God. Like Pastor Gene said, God, our hope is not in our circumstances, God, but our hope and our trust is in you, God, to lead us where you want us to be, God. Lord, keep this word in our hearts, God, on our minds, God. Lord, every day, God, help us to dwell on it, God, to make us better in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.